Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today over the phone, we are joined by Emery County Commissioner Jordan Leonard. We're going to be recapping on what's happening over in Emery County and along the Santa Fe Swell. Commissioner Leonard, as always, it's a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome.
You know, we always talk about these meetings that you guys have being wide-ranging, and I think yesterday really summed up what wide-ranging means, because you touched on just a little bit of everything, whether it be education, the environment, ongoing issues in the community, donations. You really covered it all, and one that I think is a pretty important one to lead off with, you guys did declare a drought yesterday, and, you know, looking at the year of the snowpack, or I guess the no-pack this year, things just aren't shaping up for us well in terms of water.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge for not only Carbon and Emery County, but the rest of the state and the western states. Yeah, we definitely a drought declaration, and I like how you put it with this no snowpack. You know, we've had some rains off and on. Hopefully it can sustain us a little bit. But, yeah, we're in a drought, concerned about that, and so we're looking for different ways to conserve water and try to mitigate some of these issues the best we can.
And it's something we're seeing definitely have its impacts over in Emery County. The town of Emery opting this year not to turn on their secondary water. And then you have towns like Elmo and Orangeville who have turned on their secondary water, but they are encouraging heavy conservation from the users.
Yes. Yep. Restrictions on water, certain days. You know, maybe it's 1, 2, or 3 days a week, depending on the city. We have three different drainages in the county. And so each of those drainages and cities underneath those drainages decide on what they want to do and the water they feel that they can allocate. But, yeah, we're concerned about water, hoping that we can get some early summer, spring rains to help sustain us for a while.
Yeah, we can only hope, because it is going to be needed this year as we get into those warmer and warmer months. Another thing that you guys tackled yesterday that kind of starts to bring to an end an ongoing saga in Emery County. You guys had a discussion around the Poison Springs Bench and Drunkard's Wash Solar Project. However, that kind of spiraled out into a much wider ranging discussion about solar overall in Emery. And it's something I know that you and the commissioners have been working hard on, trying to address the wants and the needs of the citizens of Emery County. But you guys brought in several people who were both affected by the solar projects and the people who are looking to build these solar projects. So you got a pretty nice mix of perspectives during that discussion.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, these solar projects have been coming down the pipe for some time now. And I know we've talked about this quite a bit. The challenge that we have is, we have these solar projects where we don't have a lot of ordinances in place to, I guess, guardrails to say. And so yesterday it was voted on to look at a ban of solar and make sure that, you know, we're listening to the public. It's been overwhelming with the public hearings, with, you know, the emails, texts, phone calls. Each one of these solar projects presents issues. With Poison Springs, you have deer migration AUMs that these are grazing allotments that are impacted. And then we have residential issues with the Huntington River Solar right near people's residence, and so that one presents an issue. Also, the Clawson Solar. We have adjacent landowners that are heavily concerned that it's going to impact their cattle operation. And so a lot of concern surrounding all of these solar projects. And so I felt, and it was a 2-1 vote, but I felt like, you know, to put a halt to it and, you know, when is enough enough? And the community has spoken. And so we still have to work through the ordinance. What it's specifically going to say, but right now we're putting a pause to everything, and Yeah, that's kind of how that went.
So when you look at an ordinance that would ban utility scale solar, or how do you kind of envision that looking? How do you think it would operate as you start to head into the process of actually developing this ordinance? What do you think, what do you want this ordinance to accomplish? Do you want it to set guardrails or just say completely outright, no more utility scale solar?
You know, I think at this point, no more utility scale solar. I know that we already have solar in the community, and the public has spoken on that. And I understand the other side of it with those that have property that they want to put it on. I know that the grid can potentially handle more solar. So we're going to have a lot of these discussions, but I think the discussion yesterday is, hey, we have enough in Emery County. It still needs to be voted on a final resolution, but that's where I feel like it may be going.
You know, for people who haven't been following along with this saga, this isn't something that is just a flick of a switch overnight. You guys have decided this. This is something that's been ongoing for the past several years, really. I mean, you go back to 2025, you guys sent a letter to CIDLA and you said, hey, we don't want to see any of this on state and federal lands. It's impacting kind of what we're seeing in our community. So this is something that you guys have taken a stance on before. And now with the increased public participation in this process, it's something that you guys have definitely taken additional steps to address.
Correct. Yep. Yep. It's something that we have to address because each project presents a challenge because we don't have specific rules and guidelines and guardrails, and so it puts us in a really, really tough spot. So to put an end to it for now, I mean, if there's commissioners in the future that want to change it they can. But at this point, we have to rethink, reorganize, and figure out what we're doing as a county. And some of these projects have been in the works for years, and we don't hear about them until it's thrown on our desk. And so we don't want that to happen anymore. We want to know what's coming down the pipe with industry, be a little more transparent and communicative with our industry partners to see what their needs are. And so I think a pause right now and a ban on solar is probably the best route right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think ultimately it's being able to have a pause. If nothing else, if this ban doesn't last, it at least serves as a pause for you guys to dig in and decide what guardrails you do want in place so that you do know when these projects are starting. Because like you said, that's not an easy situation to be put in, to have this project plopped on your desk after so much work has already been done on the company side of things, and you guys get stuck in a pretty tough position and having to try and say no to it. It's a position I don't really envy you guys being in. So I think this is, in the long run, a good move for you guys, at least to start setting some guardrails. But let's move on to something lighter. We talk a lot about solar here, but let's talk about a lot of the good that comes from the county commission. And one of the things that's coming to the county is an all abilities park in Castledale. And yesterday, you guys were able to approve an additional land donation to this park.
Yeah, so currently we have an agreement with the city we've given them land up by our swimming pool, if many of you know where that's at. So they need a little bit more property. We're way excited about this All Abilities Park. We feel like it's partnering with the city. This project's going to be great. But they needed a little bit more land than they previously asked for. And so we approved giving them a little bit more land to build a little bigger park. And we're really excited to see what it looks like, see if the community comes out and supports it. Carbon and Emery County, I know there will be people from other communities as well that will, maybe they'll want to swim for half the day and then play at the park, the All Abilities Park, the other half of the day. So we're excited to have this recreational opportunity for our citizens.
Now, another thing that you guys were able to accomplish was you were able to provide donations to several students at Emory High who are looking to do some pretty fun things. We'll start first on the boys' state side of things. A few weeks ago, you heard from the students who were wanting to attend girls' state. This go around, you heard from members of at Emory High who wanted to go participate in boys' state, and Trey Pope and Devin Farley. And it's always fun seeing these kids get involved in this world, especially because it helps establish them into the world of how our political system works.
You bet. I think it's always great to season leaders in our community, get the youth involved in government. And so we wanted to support them with a financial donation to help them go to the boys' state. I know that we have girls' state and they go to that. So we want to just keep our youth excited about it. And if we can support them, then it may allow more youth to go and be a part of it.
Yeah, and then another one you were able to do was you were able to provide a donation to Audrey Livingston to attend the 2026 Governor's Honors Academy. Now, this one it's pretty prestigious to be accepted into this, and if she is awarded a winner, she wins a pretty hefty scholarship.
Yeah, it is prestigious, and when we were visiting with her, this is down at SUU, and that was one of the colleges that she wanted to go to anyway. And so she was excited about it. We were excited for her, and it is a prestigious honor for her to go, and we felt like we should donate and help her take that trip down there. And the reason we do this is if it's connected to government and helping our youth understand government better, we feel like as a county we should support that.
You know, you want to help encourage that next generation of leaders. One of the biggest discussions we always have is that we want to see our kids come back to Emory County, to the Castle Country as a whole. Once they graduate, go to college, we want to see them come back. And this is a great way for them to do that, and not only come back, but come back prepared to be future leaders of our county. And I think that's something that really is invaluable.
It is. It is. And I think they'll learn a lot of valuable lessons, rub shoulders with people. And I think the networking part of it is a big deal, too, to meet with, whether they're meeting with legislators or different government leaders, mayors, city councils, that they can, you know, build those relationships for the future.
Now, as we look into the summer, as we get ahead into those warmer and warmer months, we always like to talk about departments in the county who are doing a lot of work. One that really stands out right now is the Trails Department and the Trails Committee. They are hard at work right now getting these facilities ready for people to come explore.
Yeah, and we definitely support that group. The Trails Committee met on Tuesday this last week, and they're partners with the Forest Service, BLM, always talking about projects. I think a few things that came up in that meeting to make the community aware of is early on with these trails, after the winter, they become a little soft. And so, you know, just be aware that they're not compacted yet. So when you're going out on the trails, try to do your best to try to compact those. The other thing is, when it rains, there's the concern with having horsemen on bike trails if it has rained. And so just being aware of what happens to trails and the impact of trails of different uses. But we support all uses in the county. Just be aware of the different uses and how it's impacted.
Yeah, it's something to always be mindful of, and it's always good to just go into any situation in the outdoors being prepared. I mean, it's not like you're going to be wanting to bike through winter weather through Utah in the middle of a snowstorm like we've seen a few times, so it's always good to just go out into the outdoors when you are prepared to do so.
Yep. Yep.
Now, Commissioner Leonard, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But is there anything you want to leave our listeners off with?
No, just I know that school's coming to an end, and I think that we want everybody to enjoy their summer. And please, a couple of things real quick. Yeah, we have board openings right now. I think we have some for planning and zoning and some of our other boards that we're interested in filling. And so if you have an interest in serving on any of our county boards, we love participation. So please look at our website and see if there are boards that you'd like to serve on.
You can't go wrong with getting involved. Commissioner Leonard, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Aiden.
Again, our guest, Emory County Commissioner Jordan Leonard. We're talking about what's happening out in Emory County. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.